about it. So, it's my pleasure to welcome for the first time to, not the first time in the store, but the first time to our Thursdays at Many Rivers series, Yara Van Yerkoubian. She is the author of this book, Flower Spirit Medicine, a guidebook to flower essence production and usage. She also wears a number of other hats. She doesn't have a visible hat on tonight, but we'll assume that this is the flower hat she's got on tonight. But she has a number of other hats that she wears, and perhaps that will come up tonight, or perhaps it will not. But please join me in welcoming Yara Van Yerkoubian to Many Rivers Books and Tea.
Well, thank you all for being here tonight, and I'm happy to talk about this book, which is about flower spirit medicine, which means the spiritual energy and healing that we can benefit from flowers in all forms. And particularly, this book is about flower essences, not herbs and not oils, but the actual vibrational qualities of flowers. I don't know if any, how many of you here have heard of Bach flower essences? Okay, right on. So that's the concept. Bach flower essences are these essences that you can often find in stores, like even Whole Foods carries them today. And there's these flower essences were made available to this modern age by Edward Bach. He was a very intuitive doctor in the 1800s, and even though flower essences have existed for thousands of years, it was Edward Bach who sort of made these, he kind of revived this practice and brought it again to our attention. And it was through being still in nature, through observing over time the patterns with how people would respond and how he felt in the presence of these different flowers, that this whole system came about. And so, this book, there are so many books written on this subject, but this particular book is a combination of my spiritual path and what brought me to using flower essences, and it's also a reference book, as the back says. Flower essences are used for a wide variety of healing purposes and to enhance overall well-being. They are a unique form of vibrational medicine in that they are completely harmless and do not force change, but rather inspire changes within consciousness. And I just want to say something about that. The reason why I love flower essences so much and I find them so powerful is that, unlike a lot of other forms of therapy, herbal and otherwise, and don't get me wrong, I'm not putting any of those down. I think they're great and that these all work synergistically. But the flower essences never force change, but rather inspire changes in consciousness. So what does that mean? Well, it means that it's like we're in a world where everything is vibrating. We are made up of vibrating molecules. Like, nothing in here is really as solid as it seems. We're jumping into quantum physics theory right now. This might sound cuckoo to some people, but I feel like it's safe here. We're all in Sebastopol. This is common talk here. So if you are considering that we're living in a world of vibrations and everything, oh, I'd rather not you do that. Yeah, thanks. So everything that we're holding, everything that we're sitting next to, everything in proximity to us, it has a certain frequency that is either affecting us or we're affecting it, or a combination of the two. So when we're taking a flower essence, or even just in that flower's presence, we're getting it on such a subtle level that it's not like an herb that when we take it, it's instantly, we're going to have a chemical reaction. It's going to go into our digestive system and into our bloodstream, and we're going to have a different response to that. It's like this essence, just like anything else we're in the presence of, we have a choice of whether to respond to that. You know, like if you see a tacky color on the wall that just kind of makes you go, ah, or maybe, you know, you see a piece of art and you're like, wow, that's really beautiful. And that's a moment in which you can allow it to affect you, whether for a positive, in a positive or a negative way. And so flower essence is similar in that it introduces this vibration that's like chimes and colors and, you know, vibes. And, you know, your aura, and it's not on this, it's usually not on an ordinary conscious level. It's on a level, you could say, the superconscious and or the subconscious level.
Subliminal.
And subliminal, yeah. And it's like it will respond, and either it'll shrug it off and like, eh, I don't really need that, or it'll be like, what's this? You know? And at that point, you have the choice of, you know, well, what is this introducing into my consciousness? What, you know, it's what it brings up for each individual and what they choose to do about it. And so typically when you go and you see like a Bach flower essence in the store, the instructions will say something like, take 2 to 4 drops 2 times a day. And maybe, you know, someone will say, take that for at least 2 to 4 weeks. And that's pretty standard, you know. But the thing is for some people, all it takes is one drop once ever. Because they got it. It's almost akin to a person who might have like a miraculous healing. Anything's possible, right? So some people, it just registers. It's that something that just clicks for them, and it really helps them. You know, usually it's not that dramatic though. For most people, this is a very subtle medicine, and it works on the subtle bodies, and that means it works on the aura and the chakras and the different layers of, you know, many people from many traditions, from Hinduism and Chinese medicine, we have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of meridians on the body and in the energy field. And so this is how the essences can sort of move through us, and we can choose how we're going to respond to what they introduce into our consciousness. Because we're all multidimensional beings, you know. We're most of the time we're not thinking about how we're breathing, and our blood is, you know, our heart is pumping blood, and we're, you know, all these things that are happening. Plus our mind is going a million miles, like what I'm going to have for dinner tonight, and I've got to get up in the morning, and I've got to do this and that. And so we're not really thinking about how the medicine is working through us, or even sometimes what the underlying problem is, you know, because most of us in this day and age are looking for ways to solve the problem as it is. We're looking for a fix to the problem that is now, whether it's a physical problem or even an emotional one or a relationship issue. We're looking for, you know, first of all, why is this here? Why am I struggling with this issue with this person all the time? Or why do I always attract this kind of, you know, this kind of scenario? And so we're looking for ways often outside of us. We're looking for cures, and we're looking for people. And I'm not saying any of that is bad. I'm not saying that in judgment, but you know, what I found on the healing path, what's brought me to writing this book, is that I realized along the way, from taking numerous supplements and herbs and everything under the sun, I mean, I took so many things to try to heal myself, And I discovered that I had a huge response to the flower essences because it sort of gave me time to assess my situation and recognize where I was kind of getting myself into these snags, where I was, you know, after a while I would sort of recognize where, oh, you know, maybe I'm being a little too impatient about this sort of thing, or maybe this gloom and doom feeling that I'm having all the time, maybe that's not even really mine and I'm sort of taking it on, or it gets blown out of proportion when I'm around this person. And why does it do that? Why am I so sympathetic or so codependent that I'm taking that on, you know? So over time, you know, it's like nothing is forced upon us when we take flower essences, but it, you know, and everybody's different. We'll all have completely unique experiences. That's another thing I love. You can't say, you know, it's this, you know, that everyone's going to have, like, everyone's going to see visions, or everyone's going to, you know, have a better night's sleep, or it doesn't matter what the essence is. Everyone is going to have a completely unique experience because we are all so unique. I think that is the same for any herb, actually, any pill. I mean, we are all so dynamic and so individual. And part of the problem with our current medical system is that the medicines are trying to address everything in this cold clinical, like, everything under the same umbrella way, as if we're all the same. But when we all eat something, we're not having the same experience. When we all see something, we're not all having the same experience. We do have similar things. I mean, we're all human beings. You know, we all basically want, on a fundamental, basic level. But we are here now, right? And we have these crazy, interesting, troublesome lives. And we all need help. And so that's where I think it comes in handy for the person that is seeking to expand, you know, through different practices such as meditation, through just anything that will bring them closer to nature and closer to their inner self. I think of this very much as being inner self medicine, again, because it's so subtle. Never forceful at all. You know, unlike an herb or an oil or a medicine that's physical, once you take this, you know, once you take those kinds of things, there's kind of no turning back in terms of you're going to have a chemical reaction. And it may or may not be good or may or not be neutral. With an essence, in most cases, I will not say it, you know, all, but unless one is very, very, very sensitive, you won't have this thing where, like, uh-oh, you know, like you're on some drug, there's no turning back, I've got to go through this experience. So just going back a little bit, I had a complete health breakdown very early in life. I was a teenager, and I didn't know what was happening to me. And when I went, you know, I resisted going for help, but it became inevitable that I had to, because things happened, like I would pass out in public and that was pretty terrifying, and I would leave my body and be totally terrified that I'm floating above, seeing my body lying there and having no control of it, and so at least two or three times I was taken away by an ambulance. Pretty terrifying for a teenage girl, and yet I had this kind of machismo about me, like after I'd get home and after a couple of days, I'd kind of brush it off like, well, that was weird. Not really paying attention to a huge signal that my body was trying to give me. And so it had to happen like 4 times to really get my attention. And that 4th time was when it really kicked my butt and I really broke down. And that time I didn't come back. I thought, well, you know, maybe if I just stay in bed a few more days. But those few days turned into a couple weeks, which turned into a couple months, which turned into a couple years. And they were a complete nightmare, because in those couple weeks in the beginning, I was so dizzy I could barely walk. I was so nauseous I could barely eat anything. And then when I went to the hospital, they took my blood samples and my blood pressure and all, you know, all the tests, and they couldn't figure it out. We don't know, hon. You should go home and eat something and get some meat on your bones. And yes, I've always been on the thin side. Talking about my weight has always been very uncomfortable for me. I used to be a normal weight, and now I'm, you know, very, very petite. I used to weigh a little bit more than this. I lost a lot of weight I couldn't afford to lose. I was thin, but I was healthy, you know. And none of this could be diagnosed by any of the doctors that I saw. So after a couple of years of being tested, I said, heck with this. I'm going to be my own guinea pig or die trying. Hell with it. I said, you know, because nothing that they were doing, I would go in and actually come out feeling sicker than when I'd feel more terrified about my future and my health. And also the feeling I got from being in the hospital was very disconcerting, because I was extremely, you know, open. And back then I didn't have a warm, understanding, intuitive people such as yourself. I'm pretty sure everyone in this room is a lot more aware than the people I was surrounded by back then. So I decided that I was going to just try everything. And I didn't know about flower essences yet, but I did know about herbs. In fact, I was kind of abusing myself physically. I wasn't eating quite as well as I knew I should have, but I was, you know, I would take things like adaptogenic herbs, and then I was like, I gotta get serious about this. If I want to get healthy, I really need to pay more attention. And so I tried a number of supplements, and I realized that was giving me mixed results, you know, some good and some not so good, but it wasn't solving the fact that I was still so incapacitated, because things were, in a way, getting worse, meaning physically some of the symptoms were getting better, but mentally and emotionally things were getting more and more intense, because it was harder and harder to leave the house. I was developing agoraphobia, which is an intense fear of leaving the house or being around people. And it got to the point where it was terrifying sometimes just being on the phone and talking to a friend. I got really nervous about that. I realized that I had a serious problem, but by then I didn't trust doctors. I didn't trust psychiatrists. I didn't trust the medical system. I knew too much about it, even back then. And now I've done a lot of research, and I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I think modern medicine has its good points, you know. There's times when you need to have a surgery, or, you know, it's great to have, you know, paramedics come, and, you know, it's not all a bad system. But I realized that I needed to figure out something that was going to help me cope and get out of this really scary place. Really, really, really scary. So, you know, again, mostly it was supplements, and I met this really wonderful man. He's one of the people that I dedicated this book to, or I gave thanks to, Alex Trevisan. He is to this day a practicing acupuncturist in the South Bay, and he also wears many hats as a healer. But I was introduced by a family friend to this man, and so that first meeting with him kind of freaked me out because he was very, very intuitive. And he figured right off the bat, you know, he did some muscle testing and he figured out that what was going on, where and what and how. And it opened a door for me, though, to start exploring. I was like, you know, he prescribed for me a flower essence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming.
Bye.
He prescribed for me a flower essence for, at the time, it was holly, the box flower essence. Holly for anger. And what was funny is, at the time, and this is a good example of how flower essences work and address things, because they don't always address the obvious or the most immediate thing that you think. At the time I went to him, I didn't consider myself to be particularly angry, but some of you may know that holly is the flower essence for anger. Anger and rage and hatred and envy and all those ugly things that have such a taboo around them. When I went in, I was just this terrified girl that had a lot of health problems, and I was so sick that I thought I could die any day. But, you know, that was the first essence that came up. So, you have to backtrack a few years, a couple years before I got sick, I was actually extremely angry. And that's part of what made me so sick, was that that anger had imploded inside of me. So, you know, it wasn't, and now in retrospect, I'm like, well, I didn't get it back then, but I get it now. And I get why that was so helpful to me over time, you know. And then there were other essences along the way. And then I began to, you know, explore making my own with not only flowers but crystals and gems, which is, you know, a sister art. Many people use them together, but anyways, that was a very, very, very big pivotal point in my life, because at that point I realized just how complex we are and how powerful we are to be able to heal ourselves with consciousness. And so it's not that these essences heal us, but they have the potential to touch places inside of us that stimulate and inspire us to heal ourselves. You know, because we all have that ability, but sometimes it's really buried in there because there's a lot of layering or wounding or trauma. And so oftentimes you will hear this term that flower essence practitioners use called peeling the onion. We often have to peel many layers of armoring in our consciousness before we get to the real core. So that anger was just an outer, that wasn't the real core issue, but it was definitely part of the problem that was contributing to the illness. And of course, it didn't happen overnight, you know, and I'm not saying it would take that long for everybody, but it was a few years of exploration and discovering yet new layers when I took these essences. And everybody has a complete, you know, for some people, they might have, some people don't experience. And I think the people that don't have much experience or response, they don't notice much change, tend to be really decisive on not doing so, you know. Because everyone, I believe, is psychic on some level and is, sensing and aware that they're picking up things to some degree all the time. And it's whether or not they want to acknowledge what's happening. And it's just like, for example, signs and synchronicities. The more we actually notice them and give thanks for those signs, the more they come to us, the more they guide us. And so the more we pay attention to what is happening as we're taking these flower essences, the more they can actually help us. Because it's like, it's a co-creative process where we're not just taking a medicine and hoping it's going to solve our problems. No. And that's the beauty of it, is that it's inviting us on this journey. A flower essence is saying, you know, well, once we make that decision, I would like to, you know, I would like to invite this into my consciousness. Then the flower spirit will say, okay, I would like to invite you into the garden of your spirit, your own spirit. And what a miraculous journey, because you never know what you will find there. I've had many synchronicities along the way that...
You never know. Are you here for an event?
Yeah.
I heard you were doing power essences.
Go ahead.
I'll see you to interrupt.
Well, it was okay. Welcome. Okay. Welcome. So we were talking about synchronicities. You never know what you'll find or what will the wind will blow your way.
So there I am.
So this is one of the things that I find be very powerful about flower essences. It really is about... It's an invitation to go deeper into your own psyche. And to make it stronger, it's not about how much you take all at once. Like, you know, again, I make this comparison between the essences and the herbs and the oils. Well, of course, if you ingest a lot of an herb or use a lot of an essential oil, that can get really strong. Well, if you take a whole bottle of a box flower essence or any flower essence, it's not going to be that strong, because that's like one hit. Boom.
What's more is not better.
Yeah, right. What makes it more powerful or more, what increases the potency in this instance is how often, because that means like a thought or a pattern or a habit or a word that you say or a mantra, the more you're ingesting it, you're bringing that into your consciousness again and again. And that can cause a bit of a crisis. So that's where I would give a wee bit of a warning that unless a person is, you know, willing to or wanting to go there, that they stick with the once or twice a day program, or even, you know, once every other day, or just when they feel the need. The only instance in which I would suggest or say that that could be helpful to take it so often is in an emergency crisis, taking Bach's Rescue Remedy, which, again, you can find that now at
Whole Foods.
They make a Rescue Remedy spray, Rescue Remedy gum, Rescue Remedy candies, yeah, and creams. And so anytime you are in a real life emergency situation, it can be helpful to take that every hour or even every 20 minutes until you feel more calm. And animals also. I mentioned animal briefly in this book, and I do hope to, you know, expand in the future and maybe make an expanded version or another book on a similar topic, or maybe with the gems. But definitely flower essences are for all sentient beings, not just people. A lot of people like to give them to their pets by putting them in the, you know, if you have a dog or a cat, mixing it in the water. And it's not going to really have a taste. They won't usually notice it unless they're very sensitive. But especially if you do it and let the alcohol evaporate, there's not much alcohol in there. So, you know, just a couple drops in that bowl of water, or mix it into their food. And some people will even use this to enhance their living space, which I do a lot with these mists here. And again, these can be, essences can be very synergistic with oils. They work on very different levels. There's a lot of confusion out there, so that's why I really try to highlight to people when I say flower essence, that means the flower energy that you ingest. And then when I say, you know, essential oil, that means the, you know, the flowers with the, or even leaf or root part that has a fragrance that is used in an entirely different way. When they come together, that is a whole different alchemical art in itself. So far, based on, I know that I've kind of jumped all over the place tonight, but is there any question?
Do you diagnose what a person needs? And do you only use Bach, or do you use other flower leaves?
Okay,
types?
That's a great question. I am very careful about using the word diagnose.
I am from the FDA.
I don't diagnose, but yes, in a way, I will
evaluate
and intuit. And yes, I use many from many different brands, including ones that I make myself.
Right. Mm-hmm. You local?
Yes.
When you're working in a process and taking the flower remedies, how much of their efficacy is related to your attention and intent, your belief systems, and involvement? How much is your aware consciousness involved in the healing process?
That's a great question. Again, I think that is different for every person, because not everyone is paying attention to those things. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a person that pays attention to synchronicities and signs and what your body's doing and how your body is responding to different things, you'll probably notice things more than a person that just goes through life just kind of like in the moment, whatever's clever, you know, oh, you're doing this now, and doesn't really stop to evaluate how things are affecting them and how they are affecting other people. So I think it's a matter of sensitivity. And a great way to keep track of the results for anybody, no matter how sensitive they are, is a journal. Simply, you know, whether it's on a daily or weekly basis, well, I've noticed, you don't have to say, you may or may not think it's in relation to the essence, but it's good to have a before and after mm-hmm. of your life, basically, or what you're taking this for.
So, maybe to rephrase part of my question, mm-hmm. Does your conscious involvement with the healing process make a difference? Whether you're oblivious or whether you are somehow noticing something?
Oh, okay. Does it change it? Is that?
Yeah. What makes it more effective or less effective?
Well, okay.
Dick Cheney said he just didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
Dense.
Okay. We're kind of lost for a second. I think I get what you're asking. So can you make it less or more powerful by your intention? Is that?
Yes, by somehow paying attention to something with my surface level mind. Is there...
Well, I do think that that could enhance it. I have noticed that it enhances the. It's like anything else. The more you acknowledge it, like, hey, how's it going? To a friend, you know, pick up the phone, you know, or anything you give your love and attention to, it's gonna, boom, you know. I think there is a bit more. It's gonna work either way, but yes, I think like a lot of people, myself included, will like to do a little prayer or mantra beforehand, or, you know, before or after you put it in your mouth. And I like to take that step of after I've dropped it under my tongue, I hold it there for a few seconds to merge with that essence. And saliva is known in different cultures, like in Taoism, to be a very powerful conduit of energy in itself, and a way to generate life force energy and chi with certain intentions and breathing exercises. So when you bring all that into it, you can make it, you know, 10 times more of a thing. So does that answer your question?
I think it does in a way. I'm wondering about if, say, I'm oblivious to what is supposed to happen, mm-hmm. or what... although I might be not be oblivious to what I want to happen, but, you know, this is, it sounds like it's a very indirect, a subtle effect that I might not notice, that I'm somehow invited to make an internal change in consciousness or something.
Oh,
like
I
that.
See, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to do something that's not possible, that is, get a firmer grasp on how it works and how to potentiate the process, which you just described, somewhat, some of the things you can do. But how will I know if I'm doing something helpful or not?
Well, a lot of people will notice that their responses to things start to shift. Like, for example, can you name a particular emotional issue or pattern or anything that we can use?
Well, how about, I don't know how this would relate. I can think of physical symptoms, but I'm not sure of the emotional, I can think of emotional consequences from the physical system,
okay.
but not emotional predecessors.
Mm-hmm. I used them for grief. That's what I used rescue. I'm not rescue, but I used a specific flower essence for grief because I was going through a great deal of grief, and so I was, you know, taking that, and then I figured as long, you know, when I started to forget to take it, mm-hmm. then I was getting through it. But it took, you know, grief is an ongoing process.
Right.
So I'm still going through that grief, you know, but 6 years later, but I'm not, you know, I'm not feeling like I need to take that particular essence, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but now I've evolved through that, and so I have different patterns, you know, or different synchronicities, for instance. So now I'm going back to this and going, oh, well, maybe I could try that again, you know? So, because I do all kinds of healing modalities, but that's something I haven't done for a while, you know, because I did homeopathic and, you know, all these different things. So it's a synchronicity to come in here and go, oh, flower essences, oh yes, those, I can use those for this particular place in my grief process.
You mentioned that you went to this practitioner,
yes.
and the practitioner gave you holly essence.
Mm-hmm.
And I know nothing about this modality, so I'm asking just to let you know. So, what I was really interested in when you told that story is how do you, as not someone knowledgeable about that, is this like some knowledge which has been built up over time and has been handed down to people that you know, like you would use holly for anger, or you would use rose for something else, or you would use, you know, like How is that discerned? You don't have to give a long technical explanation, but I was really very curious about how that understanding has developed.
Right, that's a great question. And the holly is one of the 38 essences that Bach came up with. So Edward Bach discovered, you know, I think he was going to continue on, but that's as far as he got. And the way that he did it was he had a lot of patience, and so he would recognize the patterns that he would see after giving this to so many people that it would help them with it would actually. I think they had physical problems too, and it would help get to the root. This is about getting to the root, not claiming that it's going to heal the problem, but a lot of times we find that when you address what's really going on, sometimes the physical things start to resolve. So those 38 essences, which I think started to become more known to us in the 60s, actually. Even though he was from the 1800s, I think that this whole movement when Eastern spirituality and all of these different forms of healing started to become introduced to the West, that's when flower essences started to become used again, and then in the past 20 years there's been all these different other branches coming out, and there's FES, their California based flower essence society, and they have a huge repertoire, and there's so many and all over the world now. But yeah, basically that's the hopefully that answers your question.
It does.
Okay,
I appreciate it. Having that little bit of history helped me sort of contextualize.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Oh, sure.
So my wife and I use flower remedies. She's a chiropractor, but we use a clinical modality of muscle testing to determine about the problem and see if a particular remedy, your body goes yes to it, even though your conscious mind may not understand it.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the right energetic key, it unlocks your nervous system,
right.
And you get to feel the release by ingesting the essence. So you can see your body respond to it, and it's not about believing it or having to be open to it. In fact, I'm from New York City. I'm quite cynical. And as I've educated myself about the subtlety of these things, I've been blown away time and time again. Just saying, I train my brain to be a little more open.
And so from your experience, it's not necessary to have a mental involvement with the effects of a process.
No, it's only, it's empirical doubt is necessary. Everybody, otherwise we'd be sold snake oil all day long with whatever, spirulina, selenium, you name it. But
I've heard of witchy women who they're having issues with their husband or their son or something, they sneak it in their juice.
It's good to be doubtful and empirical, but it's good to be open to the possibility. And the invitation is to meet subtlety and the science of subtlety with a little openness and see if your behavior changes, see if your beliefs change. You don't have to be a believer to get benefits.
It's a trial.
It's my opinion.
That's true.
So the route to healing is more of a receptivity to whatever the essence of the flower essence introduces your psyche to.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Right. Yeah. I think he explained well, and I think you don't have to be completely participating on that level of enthusiasm or even openness. If you're open enough to try it, that means you're open. You've given consent.
Right, exactly.
So you've said yes to this, and I think it can still be helpful, yes.
I guess the reason I reintroduced this connection is because I'm thinking of the correlation between mental, psychological, and spiritual health on the physical organism.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a relationship between a physical ailment and what's going on elsewhere in the consciousness, then if that consciousness does not change, any fix is probably temporary.
Good one.
Yeah, but that's the thing about the essences, is it's not about fixing, you see. It's about recognizing a pattern, and at that point, even when a person isn't, let's say, paying attention to the changes that are happening in their life, those changes could still be happening. You know, and they're allowing them, and they're allowing this change, you know, to evolve in their life. And sure, you know, some people can go back, you know, devolve, or, you know, go take a few steps back. But I think that, if anything, what tends to happen is that, okay, you graduate, but then you've uncovered something, and then there's something else to address. It's because you are peeling the layers of the onion.
Mm-hmm.
So you say you're taking an essence for frustration or paranoia. You take it for a while, and you're not so sure if it's helping or not, and you even stop thinking about it. And before you know it, I've seen that happen too, where a person, they're not observing it, but I'm observing it, the changes, you know, and to them they're like, no, I didn't really notice anything, but I see things happening in their life that are, you know, doors opening. I don't see them getting as upset about the things they used to get upset about, or, you know, so it just, and it varies from person to person about how frequent they take it. You can't just take it once or twice and expect that that's going to really do a whole lot, because
sometimes
my dog got fish hooks stuck in her mouth, mm-hmm. and I had rescue remedy, and I train dogs, and if there's a traumatic event that one time, that's mm-hmm. all I have to give to them, because it's rescue remedy, yeah. It's a crisis situation, it's going to take the edge off.
Yeah.
You know, and,
oh, yes.
And take the trauma out of it, because I know that from experience.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, you know, my dog doesn't have to believe in it, but it works.
Well, that's true. So. That's true. And the rescue remedy is great for, it is great for any kind of emergency or extreme stress. But
it's not just one flower essence, it's a blend.
Right. It's so. The five flower blend.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is that some issues are more stubborn and take a little more, you know, repetition with, you know, okay, let me revisit that. It's the same reason that anyone would do a specific kind of visualization or mantra. You know, the more they do it, you're building something in your consciousness, or the opposite. You're wanting to release a pattern, an unhealthy pattern. So, but again, I've told many people this. I observe this to be true, that it is easier for the human brain to think in terms of adding than subtracting. So if a person is trying to lose weight or stop doing this, you know, get rid of that habit, get rid of clutter, always have, what is it that you're inviting in place of that too? Have that in mind. What wonderful healthy food and what beauty are you going to enhance your life with? And so when you're trying to release a pattern, to just be hard on yourself and go, I got to get rid of this anger. I am no longer angry. I am not an angry person. Those kinds of affirmations, what you're saying is angry, angry, angry.
Yeah, opposite, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So release anger and bring in peace or joy or love.
Yes. I think it's important to definitely include, at least include, the thing that you want to enhance in your life.
Mm-hmm.
More peace of mind, clarity, patience.
Another subtle plant essence, not in Boston.
I'm from New York. Well, here's a real neophyte question. How are they made?
Oh, no, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked.
It does say that your book talks about it, huh?
It does, definitely. This book is unique among many flower essences in that I explain fully how to make your own. But the classical sunlight method is basically, it's very simple. You have a bowl, usually the more simple, the better actually. The more simple the bowl and clear it is, the more clear the intention can be. Because remember, we're making a vibrational essence, so if it's a very elaborate bowl, then that's part of the essence. The sunlight is going to be hitting that flower. So basically...
So it doesn't have to be a crystal bowl?
No.
I don't know.
It doesn't have to be.
Just wondering.
But I suggest a bowl that's... Well, any kind of bowl where you want that energy to be incorporated. Yeah.
Except a plastic bowl.
No plastic. No plastic ever in this process. If you can avoid it. you have a bowl. Hi. So you have a bowl. And usually you want to have it in a place that is going to be undisturbed for at least a couple of hours, and typically a place that's outdoors, you know, a place that is where you're not going to hear sirens and feel like there's a lot of distractions. Again, you want a kind of a pristine area of nature. This is the ideal way to make flower essence and to have that in a spot. Some people choose to use plastic to cover it so that bugs and dust and all that doesn't go into the bowl, but my remedy is, or some people are afraid that cats are going to come along and pee in it, but my preference is to leave it open and to be somewhat close in proximity and to just meditate, because I think having all the elements, the water and the air, and not having that plastic there as a barrier makes it more powerful. And you can always filter it later. A bowl with water. I'm sorry, I got a little distracted. So a bowl with water. And
does it have to be special water?
I suggest either spring water or distilled. You know, but water that's pure, not tap water.
Right.
And not today's bottled waters are kind of iffy, you know?
Right.
So, as pure as you can get water. And then you put it in the bowl. I usually put the water in the bowl before I put the flower in it. And there's also different ways to do this. Some people will actually take the flower heads, you know, sometimes, depending on the type of flower, it could take just one if it's a very large flower, and they'll put it in the water, and sometimes it will be a bunch of them. And now some people don't want to hurt the flower, so if it's a flower they can bend over into the bowl of water, they'll do that.
No brandy?
The brandy comes later. That's what you use to preserve it. So, but not done with this part. So, basically, you want to have it in the sunlight. And the sun, it's like, the sun is what potentiates this essence. And it's a very alchemical process. And you have all of the elements of earth, air, fire, and water. Of course, the sun is the fire, and that hits the water. And in this case, you know, the flower is kind of both the air and the earth, or if you're doing with crystals, you know, that could be the earth. But you want to leave it there for at least a couple of hours usually, but once you get pretty acquainted with this art, you can just use your intuition with what you think is right. And then you you have a bottle ready, which is going to be what you call the mother essence. And the mother essence should always be the largest, and it should be like typically in an amber bottle of some kind that's, you know, that can protect it from the light. And either have it already halfway filled with something like brandy or vodka, or you put the pour some of that essence in there, and then, and I do half and half, and I know that sounds like a lot of alcohol, but that's the mother, and you want to make sure it stays good for a long time, because you're, that's where you're going to derive subsequent bottles, what you call stock bottles, from. And if you have more left over, you can have several bottles of mother essence, you know, but you just want to make sure that you have enough alcohol there to, now when you're making a, what you call a stock bottle, you don't need that much. You need just maybe 40%, even 30%. And with a dosage bottle, which is, I think I skipped, I skipped ahead and I left some things off. But does that answer the question?
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
That's how you make an essence.
Similar to what Stargazer Lee does?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, she's a local and she makes wonderful essences. And she does a lot of star elixirs too, and she works with the Mayan calendar and astrology. I do similar work, but I don't work with the Mayan calendar. I do Western astrology. And I do work in a remedial way with that, where I work with gems, you know, to help with people's, you know, based on their birth chart, different gems and gem elixirs and flower essences that will help remedy the conflicts that they're having, whether it's by birth or a transit that they're experiencing.
So are the gem elixirs kind of made the same way as the flower essences?
Yes,
the gems?
Usually, okay, yes. Okay. Unless they're like a water-soluble gem, then it's
right.
Done a little
okay.
Different.
Yeah. And then what about the glycerin? Like, I thought there was sometimes you could make them with glycerin instead of alcohol.
Yeah, that's true, but not for the mother. You want to make sure that mother essence has alcohol. Now, some people have strong allergies and problems with alcohol, so... Yeah, but you know, when you're taking an essence, you're getting very minimal amounts of alcohol, but if you want to dilute it really even further, then yeah, you can make a dosage or a stock bottle that has glycerin instead of alcohol.
Like alcoholics wouldn't be good with the brandy remedies. you ask, you say, are you an alcoholic?
Oh,
it's
right.
It's
right.
Sue you for giving you an alcohol.
Oh, right,
remedy.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I mean, a brandy remedy.
Yeah, and then another way is to, like, using the sprays. That way they're not ingesting anything.
You can tell me if this question is not appropriate, but when you were describing your teen years, I was curious about your parents, or parent or guardian or whoever. I mean, they must have thought that and tried different things to help you heal.
That's a loaded question.
Here comes the anger.
She was born out of a lotus flower.
I'm a parent myself.
Well, yeah, that's
what I was wondering is how they reacted to
yeah, it was difficult. First of all, my parents had been long divorced by then, and I lived with my mom and her boyfriend at the time, and my two siblings, and I had been babysitting them up until that point. I don't think anyone knew how to respond to what was happening to me, including many of my friends who disappeared from my life, except for two very quality friends that were the ones walking in when the others were walking out, because they didn't even know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I think that it was scary for a lot of people, mm-hmm. because I was so weak, they didn't know what to do with me. I think it scared them.
And so when you discovered the remedies, then that must have been an awakening for your family and friends as well.
I wouldn't say that either.
For the planet at large.
This was a very slow process, and it actually led me here to Sebastopol.
We call this the Mecca.
For alternative thinking.
I started taking a course out here, taught by Jane Bell of Alaskan Flower Essences. And yeah, it was a 7-month course, and she's wonderful. And I just started falling in love with this area. I'm like, this is unreal. Everyone's like a fairy, elf, or like, you know, wizard, or like, I can just walk down the street and be myself, and it's like, wow, like, people are open to, and you go to the cafe, and they're talking about tarot cards, and I'm like, I gotta get out of here, because I was a freak where I came from. Concrete jungle, very closed-minded, you know.
Yeah.
Rosemary
Gladstar was here the other day talking about her beginnings. And she said that this whole thing with flower remedies and all that started right here. It's about
Luther Burbank.
No wonder. I mean, it was like I felt like I had landed in paradise when I got here.
I had a question sitting here. My yard is brimming with white flowers from wild onion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if they had they must have a remedy.
Oh, for sure.
Do you know what it is? What they treat?
What
a remedy from these wild blossoms of
onions?
Spring onions.
Yeah. Well, speaking of layers of the onion.
Yeah, really.
I think of onions very much being related to an emotional release for people that have a lot of pent-up emotions.
Maybe my yard is for me.
My yard.
And to be able to access. And to be able to cry and to be able to release, to get in touch with that water element.
Oh, that's interesting.
So what about grape pickles?
They make grape pickles.
Yeah.
I'm really fond of munching on calendula petals,
yeah.
You know, as I walk around my garden. And
mm-hmm.
Do you think that just eating the flower petal has this in
absolutely. Absolutely. I love going to the farmer's market in the spring and getting that flower salad from, Earthworker Farm?
So beautiful, yeah.
I just love it. Yeah, Earthworker Farm, I believe,
yeah,
that's in Healdsburg.
Getting what from them?
The flower salad. I think, yes, that's another thing. For me, the process of making a flower essence is more than just a physical one, it's a spiritual one. And I make it a point to connect with the intelligence or the spirit of the flower itself. And I talk about this in the book. I talk about levels of consciousness, plant consciousness, and what we call Devic consciousness, that each flower and each rock and each everything, everyone here has a deva. We all have a body deva, and every flower, every individual flower has a deva, but it also has every species has an oversoul, you can say. And so in the process of making the essence, I will make it, you know, say I want to connect with the overlighting, you know, I want to connect with the overlighting spirit of this plant, this particular plant, and then on a universal level. Like, say it's gardenia, you know, I want to connect with this particular gardenia, and I want to connect with the oversoul of all gardenias.
Yeah.
And that is another thing I'd like to talk about, is sometimes we don't have access, whether we're confined, you know, physically, or we don't, for whatever reason, we need it now and don't have it, a particular flower, and we know it would be good for us, and we can still connect with it. Because of the deva, because of the fact that it has a soul, it has a consciousness, and because we're not as limited as we think we are, we can connect on that level, just like you would say, oh, I want to connect with, you know, the higher self, or whatever, of that particular place, or that particular flower, and I would like to establish a link now, and allow it, you know, it to work on me that way, or have a communication. And sometimes I've had wonderful insights come through that way, and I've had wonderful breakthroughs and healings take place by just making an effort to, I want to connect with the white rose, you know, and anybody can do this.
Well, what if you're in a whole orchard of them?
Well, because I'm in an orchard right now with all these apple blossoms, and I arrive right when they're all blooming, and I'm like, oh, this is so fabulous. But each tree is so unique and so beautiful, but then there's all of them. And so, you know, like, to concentrate on, like, I imagine that you would sit in front of one tree and then have the apple blossoms, like, you know, whatever, go in your water. Does that help? You know, I mean, that's what I would do. But how do you know what it heals?
That it heals?
Yeah, like if I...
Well, that's where you listen.
Right, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah.
I always like to take the time... It's one of the things that I came in with, was an ability to be able to hear plants. You know,
sense? No, I did, yeah.
But, it, you know, just going... Being in its proximity, touching it, you know, getting a sense of... Just like we do with people, you know, or anything, you might get a sense of that's what that's good for, that's what that does. Sometimes you can tell by the color, the shape, the scent. A lot of times really strong scented flowers really work on the heart chakra and above. And orchids, for example, tend to be very... interesting in that they work on both, they tend to work on both the kundalini and sexual energy, but also really high chakras, crown and above, and help us to establish more of a conscious link to our you know, different levels of our multidimensional self. You could say our spirit guides, angelic beings, the celestial realm. Yes?
What is the role of fragrance in the scent of flower along with this whole thing? I mean, do you connect with the flower scent a lot as well as making the essence?
Oh, definitely.
So they're kind of like work together then?
They can.
Yeah.
They're different. You know, in that the scent is more of a sensual thing. You know, and that can be powerful too. As any aromatherapist can go on and on about the power of scent and all of the changes it can elicit in our body and psyche. And even if essential oils can work powerfully on the emotional bodies. But still, the flower essence energy is a lot more subtle, and it can reach higher levels, and it can... But I think they're synergistic, and that's why a lot of times, you know, a flower essence practitioner's will combine them. I can spray this around if you'd like. I don't know, is anyone allergic?
See, that'll keep you from being sued.
Yeah, exactly, you gotta ask.
I know a chiropractor sued for $10,000 because he just said sniff this.
Oh,
wow.
Are they similar? I mean, like, what's that stuff?
So what does, like, if you eat or...
If you, like, eat or, like, make flower essence out of rose petals?
Rose petals are roses are one of the highest vibrations, have the highest vibrations of all the flowers, and they're known to be the flower of the angels and the flower of the heart. So I think of roses as being very healing to the emotions and the heart, and just bringing about feelings of love and appreciation in general.
Love and appreciation.
Yeah.
Right, use them in my classroom all the time.
Mm-hmm. And gentleness. Yeah.
Yeah, because
were my friends.
Right on.
So, do they smell about the same? I mean, like, if you smell a flower essence and you smelled it, went up to a flower and smelled the fragrance directly from the flower, are they very close or different in the scent that you pick up?
I'm not sure if I understand your question correctly.
So if you just went up to a flower and smelled the flower and just left it on the, you know, on the plant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you made your flower essence.
Oh.
And you smelled it.
Oh,
would
yeah.
Would they be similar?
They would be similar but different. Definitely different when it's live and you're smelling it. It's yeah. a different kind of aromatherapy to walk through the wilds and yeah, smell that, smell the fresh pine. Nothing like it, right? It's, let's just say when you're doing it through an oil, it's a lot more concentrated. You're going to have a chemical reaction for sure, especially if you put that on your body and it goes through your bloodstream. If you rub it into your feet, like peppermint oil, the minute you do, you're going to have, within 30 seconds, you're going to have some kind of a chemical reaction. It's going to go in, up, and into your bloodstream, and your digestion is going to be affected. And
I had a comment about efficacy and subtlety. You know, you could take something from the plant kingdom that isn't a Bach flower remedy, like white willow bark, and say, you could talk about it, and you'd say, well, it, you know, but if you clinically evaluated it, it that is the source of aspirin.
Yes.
Yeah. So you say, we could disbelieve it, it still would help your headache. But on the other hand, a holistic doc said to me, just because aspirin can reduce a headache doesn't mean that we suffer from a deficiency of aspirin.
Any other questions?
Apparently, your book tells us how to make these remedies,
yes.
And what's good for what?
Yes, that's correct. So I'll just tell you the chapters and what they contain. Chapter 1, what are flower essences? A history of flower essences and vibrational medicine. Chapter 2 is co-creation with nature's intelligences, what we just touched upon. Different types of flower essences. In Chapter 3, I talk about choosing essences, because sometimes that's a little bit of challenge in itself. Like, where do I start? What do I, you know, how do I know? He mentioned, this fellow mentioned kinesiology. I talk about that in here, muscle testing and the use of pendulums. Signs and symbols within flowers. We talked about, you know, how do you know what it's good for? Well, sometimes the flower tells you right there with all of its colors and shapes and how it grows. Does it hug the ground, you know, like chamomile? I mean, that will tell you something in itself. And then since I'm an astrologer and I combine these arts, I talk about flower essences and astrology, flower essences for the signs, the planets, and the houses, and hard aspects, if you know what that means. Which I do mention. Flower essence preparation. This is chapter 5 now. Blending flower essences, different methods of using them, and how to make your own. And then chapter 6 is common issues, and this is more of like a reference chapter of numerous references. Common issues and recommended essences, flower essences for animals, and 30 common healing flowers that most of us here in this area can find on any hike or in our gardens or in our neighborhoods, you know. It's a good place to start is just the flowers that we're surrounded by. And again, you don't have to take an essence to benefit from the flower. You could just be in its presence a lot. If it's in your aura, we talked about that earlier, where, you know, we're always surrounded by things. We're vibrational beings in a vibrational universe interacting with things all the time, whether consciously or not. You know, we're bumping into things energetically all the time, not always conscious of how it's affecting us or how we're affecting it. But if you have, like, a particular flower, say, you know, growing right next to your bedroom window, or you're a gardener and you have always got your hands in the soil and you've got a lot of a particular flower, it's definitely in your energy field enough that you have some relationship there. It's mm-hmm. You can still get the benefit of it, but anytime you take it, it's a lot more intimate, of course, because then it's going into your system, and like anything else, it's going to go through your bloodstream, and it's going to interact with you in a different way.
All right, well, on behalf of Many Rivers, thank you so much for coming tonight. Thank you all for coming tonight. And I dare say that Erevan would be happy to sign a book if people want that to happen.
Sure.